get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
There's a study out that says that a majority of women would rather be in quarantine with their best friend rather than their husbands.
I wonder if the numbers would be the same if you had asked this 9 months ago. But, you know, it's been a rough go.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it when I read this, it's Anna and Raven, because I actually think that it's made my family much closer. I do think that there has been some benefits of the pandemic for us anyway. Like time that I would normally be at work, I got to spend with my toddler. I'll never have that time back. So definitely that closeness with my children and my husband has been great.
Lack of space also adds up.
But if I could go back and I could go back to my senior year of college when I lived in my dorm, my sorority house, with my seven best sorority sisters,
yeah,
and I could relive that year, I think that it would be the best year of my life. Like, those girls, I miss them so much.
Sure.
But, like, those are times in your life that you can't get back. And all that time we wasted going to class, Raven, what if we could have just been stuck in our house together doing virtual classes and partying and having fun and bonding? That would have been pretty cool, too.
So the way that you're picturing is it, not only would you be, you would quarantine with them, so it would change your living scenario for now, but it's a time machine. So you're also going back to that particular time in your life?
I think that would have been a good time to go through the pandemic as well.
I'm like to imagine you with all of your friends at this age now quarantining together at 40 and then having to deal with your children over the phone and whatnot. So you wouldn't have to have those responsibilities. It'd just be you and all you have to do is quarantine.
Right. All we have to do is just have our cocktails, do our classes virtually, sit around and talk about all our dreams and hopes. Not the worst thing. I'm saying I could understand where some women would be like, maybe that wouldn't be so bad versus my husband who hasn't moved his butt from the couch in 3 hours.
Well, you know, if we're going to do the ultimate fantasy where you could travel back to a different portion of your life, I'll go to living in Los Angeles. We had cockroaches in that apartment, but the weather was fantastic, and I could eat whatever I wanted at that point in my life.
But who were your roommates back then?
My buddy Keith, 150 pounds, soaking wet, ex-Marine with a mouth on him.
And that would be who you'd want to spend quarantine with.
We laughed a lot. We got into trouble too, but we laughed a lot during that time.
See? Maybe it's not just women. Maybe it's guys too. You'd rather have one of your guy friends over your spouse.
Well, if we behave that way now at this age, we'd probably be incarcerated.
Well, all right. Let's be happy it turned out the way it did then.
I mean, he just got out.
So who butchered performing the Star Spangled Banner? It's Anna and Raven. Super Bowl Sunday coming up and all eyes are on who is singing the national anthem. Because it's notoriously a hard song to sing well.
Listen,
Raven.
I mean, not only is it hard to sing well, but I mean, you're instantly compared to anybody else in history that has done it well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you always hear Whitney Houston did it best.
Every time.
Every single time.
Lady Gaga was great.
She was great.
But not quite Whitney Houston. That's what everybody said, even after that amazing performance she did.
Yeah. So this year, it's going to be a duet with country star Eric Church and R&B artist Jasmine Sullivan. Interestingly enough,
who?
Eric Church, well, she's a writer. She's written for Mary J. Blige.
I mean, both of them. I'm not.
Well, either way, Eric Church says he had never even heard of Jasmine Sullivan before this.
Kind of rude. Shouldn't have said that, Eric Church.
Really kind of mean. But also, like, right. It makes it interesting because now you're about to perform, like, one of the biggest stages in the world, and you said that. Everybody's going to see how you do.
Yeah, and if you mess up the Star Spangled Banner, instantly Tom Brady runs out of the tunnel and breaks his leg.
So there's three ways that you can screw up the national anthem. First, there's the way that track and field Olympic champion Carl Lewis did. He thought he could rock it out before the beginning of an NBA game.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed.
Doesn't sound so bad,
I mean,
right?
That's not bad.
No, wait
that's
a minute.
That's pretty good.
Hold on.
And the Rockets.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
the monster singing at gay proof through the night. I'll make up for it now.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Does he? Yeah,
no, he doesn't.
Oh,
here we go.
No, come on, Carl.
For the land of the free.
He's trying to ramp
he's
up
trying,
to it.
Yeah. He's trying. And that's the first way you can screw it up. And that's just, you're just a terrible singer.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be singing.
I remember Roseanne, right? You just can't pull it off.
No.
Don't try.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. If you're not up to it, don't do it.
Don't make a joke of it.
Second way you can embarrass yourself when performing the national anthem is forgetting the words. And that is so sad because that's what happened to Christina Aguilera at the Super Bowl 10 years ago.
In bright stars through the perilous fight.
Wait for it.
What so proudly we watched.
Wait a minute.
At the twilight's last gleaming.
Yeah, well, I had to listen.
It's a combination of lines.
I was like, wait a minute. What? And you know something's wrong,
right,
but you're not quite sure exactly what's wrong. And I felt bad for her because she's got a beautiful voice.
Incredible singer, of course. Right. I mean, there's a lot on that moment, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she did cover it up by trying to go with another line that sounded like it was that line, but it's not that line.
But the third and the worst way you can mess up the national anthem, Raven.
Yeah.
Is when you take artistic license with the arrangement and you try to get too fancy.
Oh, come on. We've had some examples of that.
Yep. This is Fergie at an NBA game. Listen to the crowd. Listen to the crowd. Ready? They just start laughing.
I remember that. That was the All-Star game, and then everybody started laughing. The players were laughing, actually.
Even the players were laughing, yeah.
I remember LeBron kind of just busted out laughing there. It was just a little bit shameful. Sorry.
Well, we wish you luck. Eric Church and Jasmine Sullivan this Sunday.
Yeah, they'll do great.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You see people doing questionable things all the time. You think to yourself, that is all I need to know about you, even though you probably don't know much about them. You can always call or text, fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you text or post something offensive or rude, but then you use a smiley face or laughing emoji or something like that that you think makes it okay that you just said that, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, isn't that the way where you kind of give it the wink, though, nowadays?
Ugh.
You know I don't understand posting nor emojis, so you have to school me on this.
So yesterday, I get a text message from an old trainer that I used to work out with.
Sure.
And she says, hey, Anna, hope all is well. Saw a picture of you pop up on Facebook. Want to start working out again? Laughing face emoji.
Whoa.
Wait.
That's kind of cold.
Wait. Hold on. Are you saying that I look gross? Is that what you're saying? That you're asking me if we want to train again? Is that why you're using the laughing face? But you put the laughing face, so are you joking?
Yeah. Are they laughing at your misfortune? Or is she joking saying that? Or is she just trying to kind of ease the tension and the pain on that of hearing a little bit of reality?
But that's all I need to know about you. Like, what are you talking? Like, that's not even nice. But how about this? On Instagram, I saw an... Thankfully, it wasn't on a post for me. It was on somebody else's post.
Yeah.
But in the comments, they wrote, did you miss your Botox appointment? And then there was the needle shot emoji.
All to you?
No. This wasn't to me. And there was a laugh until you cry emoji. The one where the little head is like tilted sideways. And I was like, that's not nice. Like, are you trying to make it sound better? Like, they didn't go for their Botox shot? Like, that's all I need to know about you. Like, emojis don't mask what you're actually saying.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're a public figure, this is kind of par for the course nowadays, right? If you want the likes and people that to go ahead and interact with your stuff, usually the funny comments are, you know, that's part of the game. But your friend sending you that personal message.
My old trainer, not my friend.
Well, I mean... Well, probably was a friend until then.
That's all I need to know about you.
If you think that the Super Bowl time is the best time to roll out your new spread of healthy snacks, that's all I need to know about you. Oh, we're gonna do a little chickpea salad or whatever. No, you don't do that during the big game. This is the time where calories don't count, obviously, and you can have whatever you want.
It's Danielle.
You can have three things of everything that you want. And this year, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. You're going to have everything that you would normally have at a Super Bowl party, except it's just going to be you and your husband.
It's true. Well, my best friend Danielle is that person. Like, we'll go to a party or she'll be hosting something at our house and she brings the fruit platter. She brings the celery
look,
and the carrots.
Hummus. You're not even going to know. It's totally delicious, this hummus.
What did you bring for dessert? She'll be like, I'm in charge. Now she's not in charge of dessert anymore.
You took her off of
I took her off for dessert. She's like, I brought a fruit salad and a blueberry pie. I go, who wants that?
Right.
Are you crazy? If you have dessert in your title, like, it better have chocolate and peanut butter in it.
Laced with sugar, at the very least, at a high content level.
That is definitely all I need to know about you. Why does the CDC want you to bring your electric toothbrush to your Super Bowl party? It's Anna and Raven. Well, not surprisingly, the CDC and Dr. Fauci, they all say that you shouldn't host or attend any Super Bowl parties. Do it virtually, blah, blah, blah.
Wah.
I mean,
killers,
you knew they were
going to
say that. Yeah. But if you are going to a party or if you're going to the real Super Bowl in Tampa, they have issued some CDC guidelines.
Oh, I love that. Guidance. Let's make sure that we're safe.
Number one, wear your mask and maintain social distancing. We all saw that coming, obviously. Number two, limit alcohol consumption, because consuming alcohol may make you less likely to follow COVID-19 safety measures.
I mean, this sounds seriously like we're starting to put our views on other people, right? This is an encroachment, all right? Pretty soon, we're going to have those committee meetings where we decide whether or not you're a communist.
Number three, avoid the restroom at high traffic times, such as halftime or immediately at the end of the event.
I mean, if you got to go, you got to go. It's your friend's house. If you're at the stadium, that's one thing, but it's your friend's house.
I just imagine, like, lines at every single bathroom in the house, like upstairs, and out, like my bedroom.
Duct tape on the carpet on the stairs.
Yeah.
Right. You got to stand here, man.
But one of the guidelines that made us realize that maybe you really need to show up to your party prepared, the CDC says you should avoid chanting or cheering. Stomp and clap only, or bring handheld noisemakers instead.
I mean, this is absolutely, it's astounding, the stuff that they're coming up with now. No cheering, everybody. No cheering.
Well, because
you're
yelling.
Biggest game ever.
You're projecting your voice, and we know that when you yell, that your spit can travel up to 15 feet. We've learned that over the last year.
Oh, you can say it as many times as you want. I'm not on board.
But then we started thinking about it. Bring handheld noisemakers instead. Like, if you're at somebody's house, what household items can you use to cheer for your team so you're not shouting or yelling?
Well, you know, you got to look for the things around you, like you said, right? And they have to encompass different emotions during the time of the game. So I'll give you one example right here. What is it? And what do you think we're rooting for at that moment?
Oh, I know what that is.
What is it?
Well, it's a pill bottle, and you're going to use them like maracas, right?
Yeah. But I'm thinking we need that for a defensive stance.
Oh, okay.
Right? Defensive stance. That means hold them.
Hold them.
That means hold them right
okay.
there.
All right.
All right. All right. You mentioned electric toothbrush.
Yeah. I think you use that when they're about to kick a field goal. No.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like noisemakers. Are you rooting for the field goal to go in when you hit the electric toothbrush?
Yeah.
Or are you rooting for it to miss?
No, you want it to go in when you hit the electric toothbrush.
I would have thought it was a distraction. Okay. Here we go. Another household sound. You've got it. Ready to go.
Yep.
Middle of the party. You pull the pull cord on your lawnmower.
Oh, that's definitely when they score a touchdown.
You think so? That's
absolutely
a lawnmower celebration?
Yep, 100%.
All right. Here we go. Here's another one for you. Middle of the game, you turn off and on your laptop over and over and over again.
That's going to be whenever there's a turnover. Whenever there's a turnover, you turn on and off your computer and you get that noise.
How about this one?
Oh, yeah. I know that sound well because I have a 2-year-old at home.
Yeah.
That is the pots and pans being strung together, and you keep those pots and pans right by your feet, and that's what you start chomping on and hitting the minute your team wins the Super Bowl.
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah. See, we got it all figured out. CDC says don't shout, don't holler. Instead, just bang pots and pans and get your electric toothbrush. The Tom Brady diet includes drinking half your weight in ounces of water each day, which sounds like a lot. But what happens if you actually do it? It's Anna and Raven. Yesterday, Raven and I put producer John up to the task. So John weighs 175 pounds, so that's about 88 ounces of water, 11 cups of water. And we asked John to record every time he went to the bathroom.
All right, this is bathroom trip number one. All right, time number three. And number four.
11:15, number seven.
It's just after noon. This is number eight. 5:20, that was time number 12.
3:52 in the morning, and that was time number 16.
Wow. That's a lot of times.
So was that the final number, John, 16 times?
18 times.
That's a lot of times going to the bathroom.
You know, it's funny, actually. I'm trying to think about how many times I actually go during the day. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, well,
if I timed it out. But that does sound excessive.
If you go, I mean, that's a lot. That's more than once an hour, obviously. How do you feel after consuming that much water?
I feel good. The only negative is I washed my hands so many times that they're a little raw now.
Well, you're supposed to be washing your hands a ton anyway.
It's true. 24 hours later, though, he looks exactly like Tom Brady now.
Right. It's crazy. Like, it's uncanny, really.
Yeah, the chin is transforming already.
Yep. He grew about 6 inches taller. Look at those muscles bulging. He started off at 175. Now he's 230 pounds of pure muscle.
That's right.
You thinking about training your family to find a supermodel?
Huh? I mean, absolutely. I emailed Giselle last night.
Wait a minute. You have a lovely wife, you silly person. And a lovely family.
Yeah, he finds himself in that celebrity trap all of a sudden. He thinks he's so good looking now.
Did you find it difficult to drink that much water?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I didn't think it was that crazy either. Rita Morgano is not only one of my best friends. She's also a fitness trainer and nutrition expert. Rita, is it crazy to expect people to drink this much water?
No, Anna. Actually, it's not crazy at all. The typical amount that a guy should drink is about 15 and a half cups of water. And for a female, it's about 11 and a half cups of water to help with weight loss and staying hydrated. So it's not so crazy.
I mean, daily, though? Yeah. I feel like 15 and a half is like the amount a guy can drink. And then after that, if you get to like 15 and three quarters or 16 cups, he explodes. So is this a max density thing, or it's like that's like on average?
It's an average. It's a rule of thumb.
So where did 8 cups come from? Why do people always say 8 cups?
I'm not going to get all technical, but I think it was just a standard that was basically created. But they've made changes. As they find out more things get changed. So
I've been saying it, Raven. When I drank 14 cups of water a day, 12 to 14 was always my goal. I would chug it before I went to bed if I didn't reach it. Remember, Rita, how thin I was? I was so fit. I felt so good.
I mean, you keep asking for witnesses, but you stop. You keep pushing water away from you. So.
An average dog knows about 165 words. A super dog knows about 250 words. But what strange word does your dog understand, and what do they do when you say it? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. So, Raven, they say that like a dog's intelligence level is on par with a two-year-old. Which is ironic and funny because, you know, I have a two-year-old, so I watch them interact a lot together.
Sure.
And one of the same tricks that I use with my two-year-old daughter, I use with my dog, and neither of them are falling for it.
What is the trick?
So, you know when you go to a restaurant and the waiter comes and they're like, would you like to order D-E-S-S-E-R-T? Would they like some I-C-E-C-R-E-A-M?
Okay.
You know, they spell it out so that the child doesn't understand.
Sure, right.
So we started doing that with my dog, Lila. We would spell out T-R-E-A-T because, like, we would say, like, oh, did you get a T-R-E-A-T so she wouldn't understand and go crazy?
If you're in the car, that's treat.
Treat.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, you know, in case you're trying to keep up while also negotiating the road while you just woke up.
Yeah.
Treat.
So.
Right.
But something happened along the way. Lila
learned
how to spell.
Yes.
So now anytime I say this, she responds.
Lila, T-R-E-A-T.
What's so funny?
T-R-E-A-T.
Even Dakota knows. Mommy.
Right. Does she know how to spell yet? The daughter's learning at the same time. Your daughter's learning at the same time?
Yeah. So I don't think she knows T-R-E-A-T. She knows it's funny because whenever I say it, Lila barks and goes crazy and starts chasing her tail.
Sure. Yeah.
But if I say I-C-E-C-R-E-A-M,
yeah.
She'll go, ice cream.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse ice cream because we've got Mickey Mouse cup ice creams.
It's funny.
And she knows right away.
Yeah. My dogs know how to spell ice cream too, I think. They definitely know how to spell walk, W-A-L-K, when we say that.
That's funny.
Or if it's time for a treat, same thing. I think they know treat, too. They respond to all the regular dog words, like milk bone, breakfast, dessert, that stuff. But they really get pumped up when I tell them that grandma's coming over.
Huh? What's up? Who loves grandma? Who loves grandma? You guys love grandma? You guys love grandma? Who loves their grandma?
The reason they get so pumped when grandma is mentioned is because grandma gives them all the treats in the world, much like they do with grandkids. My mother has no self-control when it comes to her granddog. She just gives them whatever they want.
Your dad dog voice when you talk to your puppies is hilarious.
You think
maybe
so?
They're responding to the fact that you're like, he's grandma! He's grandma!
Yeah, they know the normal stuff, like I said, but grandma gets them really pumped up.
Yeah, what is the word that whenever you use it around your dog, even though it's a little bit strange and a little bit different, they definitely know what it means. And what do they do? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. It's next with Anna and Raven. What is the word that your dog completely understands? It's Anna and Raven. You could call or text 1-800-330-9999. Average dog knows 165 words. They say if you have a super dog, which I don't really know what that means. I guess a genius dog.
Border collie.
I have a border collie. I wouldn't call her a super dog, but she knows, they know 250 words. So we asked on our Facebook page, what words do your dog understand? Erica wrote, my dog understands a lot of words, but his favorite is Papi Chulo. I want to know what happens when she says Papi Chulo, right? Like, what does the dog do?
He knows that she's talking to him.
I guess.
That he's her favorite. He knows is that the tail wags and he gets the dancing feet. That's what my little guy does.
Huh. On our text line, you could also always text 1-800-330-9999. When I say coffee, he goes crazy around the door because he knows we're about to walk to our coffee shop. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the word that your dog understands?
Cookie. Could spell it out. He would know. I would say couch, cauliflower, and he would still know it's not cookie. As soon as you say cookie, he's not howling.
That's funny. All my dogs know the names of their toys. So if I say get your cat, they'll get your cat. If I say get your lamb chop, he gets his little lamb chop. You know, they know the names of their toys.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the word that your dog knows?
My dog understands my son's name. As soon as we say his name, he stops all his acting up. He lays right down, and he looks for him to come.
But wow. Do you think it's out of fear, love, or respect?
Does it matter?
Probably a little bit of respect and a little bit of fear.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a German Shepherd, and he only listens to our son.
That's the same thing in my house. Lila only listens to my husband. So if I say, Daddy's coming, she immediately gets quiet and sits down.
So it's the opposite of with my dogs.
Yep.
If I tell my dogs anybody's coming, any name that they recognize, their auntie or whatever, they just freak out. They go nuts.
Mm. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the word that your dog knows?
My dog knows scoozy moozy.
What is that?
It means get out the way.
That's right. She's a 100-pound cicada that likes to sleep in front of the bedroom door, and I can't open the door. So I say scoozy moozy, and she gets up.
Oh. I love that. That's a good one. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What word does your dog know?
He knows the word outside. When he hears that word, his head perks up, and he just goes crazy.
Yeah, whether it's a walk or just to do his business or whatever, dogs always want to get out.
Yeah. When I say outside to Lila, she goes up with her paws, and then she goes down on both of them. Like, that's her way of saying, yes, let's go outside.
Let's do this right now.
Right.
You know, my dog knows the word sweater. So one of my dogs is the only dog I know who he doesn't normally want to go outside. Baxter, the little one, he's like 12 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold during the winter, so he never really wants to go out.
Yeah.
But he also knows sweater. So if we go outside to the bathroom, we come in, take his coat off, and then I go, you want your sweater? And he knows what drawer it's in. He takes the sweater drawer and he just like pushes on it.
It's strange that your dog has an entire closet of clothing.
I told you, he loves them. He has at least a dozen sweaters. He's very bougie. It's true. He has sweatshirts, everything.
I mean, the fact that your dog has a better wardrobe than I do is quite entertaining.
And it's expensive, too. You want the good stuff, man. It's pricey. He's got a high-aligned taste.
Your dog is so cute. I can't even deal with it. We're getting so many texts on the text line at 1-800-330-9999 showing us pictures of their dog and telling us what words they understand. Stand on, Raven.
You know, one of the things I didn't mention is one of my dogs understands Family Feud. He won't eat his dinner until Steve Harvey and Family Feud is on. He gets a little bit anxious. And for whatever reason, Steve Harvey, when he says we asked 100 people, he relaxes and he's ready to eat his meal.
That's so funny.
It's true.
So the average dog knows about 165 words. Some super dogs know about 250. But there's certain words that your dog knows that are definitely outside the realm of beg or sit. What is that word? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Well, it's ice cream is the word, but it's more about the fact that he knows at 7 p.m. every night he comes to me and reminds me that it's 7 p.m. that he wants his ice cream, and then once I say it, he runs to the freezer and waits there for me to get it for him.
Yeah, dogs thrive on structure, and 6:45 every night, it's milk bone time in my house.
Oh, yeah.
And so, one will sit there, and the other one will sit there and watch me from 6:30 to 6:45 just for the second that I move.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go to 6:46 and I have not gotten up, oh, it's the crying, it's the begging, it's all that. Ice cream every night. You're a good dog,
exactly.
Mom. They're spoiled.
I read somewhere that they don't know time, but I don't think that's true, because at 8 o'clock on the dot, every night, Lila goes and puts herself to bed. Religiously.
Yeah, no, they know their natural cycle better than we do.
Anna and Raven, what's that word your dog knows?
Okay, so I don't have a dog. I have a cat named Lila, and she has a pretty good vocabulary. She knows tree and outside, and if you say birdie, she goes running to the window to go look. But the best word is clippy. She has this, she loves to play with hair clips. And if you tell her, you know, go find a clippy, she'll go wandering all over the house, even up on top of the dressers to find a hair clip, and she loves to play with them.
That's fun.
She's pretty smart, too.
Yeah, no question about it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the word that your dog knows?
Hi, it's my mother's dog. It knows two words, brush teeth.
Yeah, I brush my dog's teeth, too. And, they know that word now. Yep, they know it.
But does he get excited, or does he get, like, run away?
Yeah, he jumps down off her lap, and we start walking to the bathroom.
Hmm.
My guy will walk, but he acts like you're dragging him every time. Like, it's a whole thing. And then the nights that he doesn't really feel like doing it, he just hides under the covers.
Anna and Raven, what's the word that your dog uses, the nose?
My Havanese sings.
Sings.
She will sing when I say sing.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Really, on command. That is a cool trick.
Is she there? Because I'd love to hear it.
Right.
She's right here. She's wagging her tail. And her name is Lily Pad Flowers.
Okay.
Lily. Okay, ready? We're going to be on stage. You're going to sing for me? Sing. No. Sing. Sing. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my gosh, Lily is so cute.
Happy birthday. Finish. Happy birthday to you. Girl.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Timothy and Brenda. Brenda, what is going on?
My sister is upset that we have our kids call one of our family friends Aunt Caroline. She's really insisting that only blood relatives deserve aunt title, and she wants us to tell the kids to stop calling her that.
I guess it's a little bit awkward, right? I mean, especially if the kid has already begun doing this and that person has taken notice and I'm sure been flattered of it. Tim, you're on board or not on board with telling your kids to stop calling the family friend auntie?
You know, my personal opinion, you know, I don't really think it matters what kids call somebody. You know, I mean, they're kids. I feel like they could say whatever they want. But it really does seem to upset Brenda's sister. So
it's a thing, right?
I understand that, but, like, who
cares?
So
what do you want to do? I mean, right. Do you want to defend this thing for your friend or cave to your sister's wishes?
I think it's nuts. What else are kids going to call an adult, like, by their first name? That's just what kids call other adults.
And have you told your sister she's overreacting? Or is she just really overprotective of that aunt role and that aunt title? Because there's a lot of people out there that are.
Yeah, I have, but I think she's really hyped up because this is the first time she's an aunt. Like, this is the only situation where she is an aunt. And so, you know, it made her feel kind of special that, you know, she's an aunt over these children. And now she has someone else who's also these children's aunt.
Yeah, today it's Caroline. Who knows? Tomorrow it's the stranger they meet at the grocery store. Anybody, you're just handing out that title.
This is a tough one for me because I do understand what your sister is saying, because the role of an aunt is, I mean, very important, especially like in my life. Like, you know, I'm the favorite aunt. I always have to be the favorite aunt.
Right, but so, you got some nieces and nephews that you're not blood with, I'm sure, right? You're a favorite auntie to some others that aren't necessarily family.
Well,
and you like that too.
I think that's the argument, that it's not so much that our family friend is not blood. Like, they are not directly related to the family. And you know how family can be sometimes, guys. Like, the bond of family is stronger than anything. So I think that's where the issue and the conflict is coming in.
I understand that. I actually do. I see both sides of this. And we can see what our audience has to say. Is it wrong to have children call family friends that are not blood related aunt and uncle? Or is that really reserved for blood family?
Brenda and Timothy have young children, and they also have a very good friend, a family friend, Caroline. So what do the kids call Caroline? They call her Auntie Caroline. What's the problem with that? Well, you know who's got a big problem with that, Raven?
The real aunt.
Brenda's sister.
Right.
She's like, why do they call her Aunt Caroline? She's not their aunt. It's not cool. Like, only real aunts get that role of aunt so-and-so.
Do you think it's really because they're calling them that, or they're wondering where it started? The sister is wondering where it started. Did you tell them to call her auntie, or did they just start calling her, or did she tell them to start calling him auntie? Because, she's a little bit upset by it.
Right, and there's a disagreement about whether or not it's right or wrong to do it. Timothy says, like, listen, if it's such a big deal to your sister, we'll just tell the kids to stop calling her Aunt Caroline. We'll just tell her to call her Caroline or whatever. But Brenda says her sister's overreacting. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Core, Anna and Raven.
You know, I don't remember who had which side, but I was raised, you don't call an adult by their first name. And in all fairness, there are people that I'm friends with that have more involvement with my kids than my family did.
Well, I think that actually brings up a really good point. It's like, if it's somebody that's showing up all the time and they're part of the children's lives, then yes, of course it's an aunt or
so
an uncle.
So now we're measuring which aunt is doing more auntly stuff.
Well,
that's a slippery slope, pal.
I guess so. Timothy and Brenda have young children, and they also have a longtime family friend. The kids call her Aunt Caroline. What's the problem with that? Brenda's sister, the real aunt? Oh, she's got a problem with that.
Her feelings are hurt by this situation. She says, I'm the only blood relative, and only blood relatives should be called aunt and uncle.
Is she overreacting? Timothy says, what's the big deal? We'll tell the kids just to call Caroline Caroline. Brenda says, no, my sister's being ridiculous. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Oh, my God. It's totally okay to call someone an aunt. That's not blood.
I don't know, man. You've drawn a line in the sand now with the real aunt, all right? How is the real aunt going to take this? And what are you going to do at barbecues when everybody's around?
I imagine Aunt Caroline and Aunt Sally fist fighting in
right.
the middle of the 4th of July.
Right.
You think you're an aunt? You're not an aunt.
Just erupts after somebody asks somebody to pass the potato salad.
Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. I'm Greek, so calling an older person aunt and uncle is very normal to me. Of course, I do it in Greek, but I don't see an issue with the kid calling Aunt Carol Aunt Carol. It might be that very respectful.
Call me Uncle Raven right now in Greek.
Theo Raven.
Yeah.
I thought it would be longer.
You thought it would be more fulfilling?
I thought it would be longer. Thank you, though. It was very nice of you to do that.
No great. Problem.
And a little bit strange.
I thought it would have been larger. I don't know. Maybe trumpets behind it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Not sure whose side I'm on, but I think that the sister is blowing out of proportion a little bit. I'm taking a different background. I'm adopted, so my family is actually not blood. And I think, you know, blood is not the most important thing, but I don't think she ought to be handing out the title aunt and uncle like candy. Like, my kids call their godparents aunt and uncle, and I've been friends with those people for over 20 years. I understand her concern, but if this other friend is very close and it's a very good relationship, I don't see why. I think she's a little bit jealous.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brenda, our audience did agree with you. It's no big deal. Your sister is overreacting. But maybe having a conversation saying, you know, your aunt is my sister and, you know, that's different. That's a closer bond. So then they understand it and it makes her feel better about things. But I don't think we should kick Aunt Caroline to the curb just because, you know, you weren't born to the same parents.
Yeah, I thought so, too. That sounds like a good compromise. You know, their Aunt Caroline is sweet and loves them, so.
But she's not going to take them in if you guys die in a car crash or something like that.
Right.
So
specify that. Specify that with somebody.
When
at least with your sister, I would imagine.
When
right.
you sit your five-year-old down, you say, listen,
right.
yeah, Aunt Caroline loves you, but in the will, you're going to your real aunt. That's how you explain
right.
it.
Maybe use a paper airplane as some sort of demonstration, crash that into the wall, you know.
Oh, I am good at making airplanes.
See?
There you go. And then, Tim, every time that her sister comes over, you can draw her in close and hug her and say, we know you're the real aunt.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make you endearing to the family.
And creepy. You get a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com. So we just got this call. Hi, it's Annon Raven.
Hi. I was listening to the Couples Court earlier, how the sister-in-law was upset that they have a family friend and that the kids call them their aunt and uncle. And, well, I'm kind of in a similar situation, sort of, and I was hoping that you guys could kind of give me some advice on what I should do. So I'm getting a divorce, and, you know, I really don't think that my niece and nephew should call my soon-to-be ex-husband their uncle anymore. You know, and I mentioned it to him, and now he's all upset because he says that they're his nieces and nephews too, but they're not. They're my sister's children. I just want to know, is it wrong that I want to get rid of his uncle status now that we're getting a divorce?
I mean, it is kind of tough, but I would leave something like that up to the kids. Wouldn't you, Anna?
No, they don't know any better. Did he wrong you? Because if he wronged you, they don't get to call him uncle anymore. That, to me, I feel like that's what, if it's a good separation, then maybe.
Yeah, the best of times separation, right? The ones that are the most fun, like getting on a roller coaster ride. I mean, come on, what are you talking about? None of them, even if they're civil, are great.
So then they shouldn't call him uncle anymore. He's not their uncle anymore, right?
I disagree.
I gotta be honest. Maybe I don't actually know, because I'm thinking about the divorced aunts in my life.
Right.
And I still call them, well, I call them Zia, but Zia Jenny, Zia Debbie. I still refer to them in their full name.
I think it's a dangerous thing when you start telling kids we're going to decide whether or not somebody is still related to you based on whether or not we think they were the bad person in the divorce. I mean, you don't know anything about anybody's home life or what's actually going on in there. Could turn out that your aunt or uncle, the one that was related by blood, they're a big jerk inside their house. You don't know. You're just getting one side of the story.
All right. So what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Once you get a divorce, would you still have your blood nieces and nephews call your ex aunt and uncle? Or would you have a conversation with your sibling and say, hey, tell the kids no more aunt or uncle?
They've been exed out.
Yep. When you go through a divorce, do you get demoted as an aunt or uncle? Something I never really thought about. Santa and Raven, we got a phone call from a woman going through a divorce, and she said her nieces and nephews, so these are her blood niece and nephew, her sister's kids.
Yep.
Should they still call her soon-to-be ex-husband uncle?
She doesn't want them to, actually.
Right.
But, of course, you're in the middle of a divorce. You're a little bit bitter. You're emotional. Is that the way it should be for everybody?
But what if they're never going to see him again?
Like,
that's an endearing term.
What if
right?
they live right across town? You don't know.
Right. What do you think? What did you do in your family? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
No, I don't think so. I think she's being petty. I think the more family you have in your life, the better, especially if he sounds like he cares about the kids.
You know, how many times do we have to see examples of people using the kids as pawns? You're not doing it in the interest of the kids. You're doing it because it makes you feel better and it hurts them. And sometimes that's the same thing. Thanks for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think about this?
I think they're still related. They're related to your ex-husband, so they're related to your children if they're your children with your ex-husband. Your aunt.
Well, I would say, too, that, you know, even if you're not the blood relative, even if you're the one that married in, if you had a relationship when those children were born or when they were young, like, you have an established relationship. Doesn't matter what anybody says.
Yeah, and it's up to the children, too. I mean, if the children do have an established relationship, they should be able to continue that relationship. Because in today's world, children need more people in their lives. You know, it's a tough place to be.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Do you get demoted from the aunt and uncle title?
I think once you get divorced, the ex gets demoted. No more aunt or uncle respecting their name unless they plan to still send presents to the kids for the holidays. Then they can keep it.
I got to be real. I consider the Christmas gift thing part of the choice, too. Because
what?
If you demote the divorcees, right?
Yeah.
You think that you're teaching the kids, all you're doing is perpetuating the fact that they're going to make the same decision down the road. If somebody divorces out, they're no longer family. And all you're doing is costing them Christmas gifts. Keep it open. Love everybody, of course. If you were once family, you're always family.
So you mean to tell me that if they continue to send Christmas gifts after the divorce, then they get to keep the aunt or uncle title. But if they do not, then they don't get the title anymore?
Exactly. You know it's going to be a good gift, too, when they're divorced out. Oh, that's going to be a banner year.
All right. Aunt on Raven, what do you think? Do you think they get demoted and don't get the aunt uncle title anymore?
I mean, you know, my ex-wife and I got divorced 3 years ago, and then my niece still calls her Aunt Allie. But, you know, they're close, and
my ex is actually her godmother, so it makes me happy at least to see them still somewhat have a relationship. You know, it's her godmother. I'm not going to take that away from her just because we got divorced.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're a godmother, you get to keep your title forever.
Yeah, but I just think kids are better off when they see everybody be cool. They see everybody else around them is good. Oh, then everything's good. I'm good.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you think that the title gets demoted from aunt and uncle after you get a divorce?
Once an aunt and uncle, always an aunt and uncle. Like, how do you explain to a child you can't call them aunt anymore because they're not married anymore? I think it's kind of above a lot of kids' heads and they're just used to the names. I don't know. I don't think it's really a big deal.
No, I think that you sit down your young children at 5 years old and explain to them that love doesn't last forever.
Oh, good.
And that it's not real enough to overcome.
I think
you should definitely discuss that with them. And that's why they won't be getting any more gifts from Auntie Jo.
Oh, that's terrible.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Yana and Raven. Who's this?
Chris.
Chris, you are up. I hope you know your stuff. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, would you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Chris.
All right, Chris. We have $2,200 on the line, okay?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, $2,200. Ready to go?
Yes.
Number one, transgender actor, writer, and producer Jen Richards will join the CBS remake of Clarice based on the 90s thriller Silence of the Lambs. What is the name of Anthony Hopkins' character?
Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Number two, Miley Cyrus has volunteered to be Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton's wedding singer. Gwen Stefani is the front woman of what rock band?
No Doubt.
Number three, Golden Globe nominations are out. Leading the pack with 6 nominations each is the movie Mank and the TV series The Crown. What actress is currently portraying the queen on The Crown?
Olivia Colman.
Number four, speaking of Golden Globes, Sacha Baron Cohen tied the record for the most nominations in a single year by an actor with 3. What was the name of the movie that he received a nomination for Best Actor this year?
Borat.
Number five, Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart are hosting the Puppy Bowl this year. Their show, Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party, debuted on what TV network?
HGTV.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
All right, Chris got 3 out of 5.
Okay, not bad. Let's see how I do. $2,200 on the line.
I don't know if 3 is going to do it. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Transgender actor, writer, and producer Jen Richards will host the CBS remake of Clarice based on the 90s thriller Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
What is the name of Anthony Hopkins' character?
Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Yes. Number two, Miley Cyrus has volunteered to be Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton's wedding singer. Gwen Stefani is the front woman for what rock band?
No Doubt.
Yes. Number three, Golden Globe nominations are out. Leading the pack with 6 nominations each is the movie Mank and TV series The Crown. What actress is currently portraying the queen on The Crown?
This past season was Olivia Colman.
Yes, you guys are tied at 3. Number four, speaking of the Golden Globes, Sacha Baron Cohen tied the record for the most nominations in a single year by an actor with 3 this year.
Okay.
What was the name of the movie that he received a nomination for Best Actor this year?
The Chicago 7, is that the Best Actor?
No, it's Borat subsequent movie film.
Okay, yeah. I know Borat did well, but I mean, if you haven't seen the Chicago 7 thing or whatever it is, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's really good in that. Number five, Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart are hosting the Puppy Bowl this year. Their show, Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party, debuted on what TV network?
I'm going to take a guess and say the Food Network.
Nope, it was VH1.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Chris. You guys tied at 3. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt. I said they were going to be hard today.
They were. They were tricky. Yeah. Very difficult. Yeah. Enjoy that shirt.
This is Chris, but I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Chris. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time.